Good evening, everyone. Well, we've been seeing a little bit of Listowel. Is that the way you say it? I kind of wondered, you know, because I mess up a lot of words. But we had a great time this afternoon, midday. And praise the Lord for your hospitality and goodness to us. And we have this little pamphlet here, which I think I saw a number of them back there. And the best part about all of this is a little piece of paper in the middle that says South America, Uruguay, right? And so it talks about Uruguay, and that's our city. This is at the camp, this is at the Bible school, where we're serving the Lord, besides in two physical buildings in the same city. So we've had different teams of workers together, and we're going to have another one now going down on the 19th of March, give or take a little bit, you know. So anybody who's really interested in that, please contact MSC, and we'd love to see you, right? And let me see. Our time is pretty good so far, right? I have to mess it up somehow. So let's just go, if you like, to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes has some powerful thinking, and in verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4, says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." I worked in several harvests before it became mechanized, right? When we still had the sacks, and I was with the, I don't know what you would call it here, a trailer, pulled by a tractor, and also I ended up in one of the machines doing sewing the sacks. And so it was incredible. I worked, I loved the work, you know, it was fun. I thought it was fun. I was crazy, right? But anyway, I thought the work was fun and sort of a challenge, right? But that goes beyond it. What we're seeing here is some people sort of look outside and say, "Oh, it's cold today. Oh, there's wind. Oh, it's going to rain. It might rain." And others consult Google or telephones and so on and say, "Oh, it's going to be cold. You know, we can't do this. Look, 3 days from now, it's pronosticated that this and this is going to happen." So our whole life kind of crashes because we're waiting for all these events to disallow us from doing what we would normally be doing, right? And so here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is showing the people that this is a little bit ridiculous, you know. "He who observes the wind will not sow." So you look outside, "Oh, I can't sow." You know, there are different ways of sowing. Now it's direct seeding, but you also have a half sack over your shoulder and you throw the seed out. And "who regards the clouds will not reap." It's going to get wet. Let's leave it all loose. If it rains, it rains and it'll dry, and then we gather. "As you do not know what is the way of the wind." So now he's saying, do you really know what the wind's going to do? No, you don't. "As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child." How does all that happen? That's a pretty clear one, right? You know, babies are born, and such a miracle. And do we understand that? Do the doctors understand that? You know, they have a few ideas, but It is incredible. It is a miracle every time. So, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. So just like we don't know about the wind, about the rain, about how children really are developed, how even our own bodies continue to function, and we cut ourselves and we heal without really having to think about anything. And all of these things, in the likewise, you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Conclusion, verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. In other words, in the evening, continue sowing. And for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Okay, I hope you haven't lost you all. But what it's telling us here is don't stop. And don't be selective. Do this and do that. This might work, that might work, both might work. And you'll be gaining more. When we serve the Lord, we can't pick and choose, and we can't foresee, oh no, this person isn't going to listen to me. Right? This person will never get saved because look at the tattoos he's got on his arm. Right? So, you know, the broken jeans. Well, that's in style now, isn't it? So, anyway, we look at people, we look at situations, and we say, not going to work. But God is saying, you know, do it anyway. And don't stop. Keep going. And do it over here too. So, some have asked us, well, what do you do to plant a church? Well, you do everything. You do everything. You don't say, well, I'm going to dedicate myself to this. You do everything. What are you going to do to witness? Who are you going to choose? You don't have to choose anybody. You have to choose everybody. You have to do it to everybody. Say, hey, you know, because the Lord will show you. The Lord will make you become uncomfortable thinking, you know, I got something this guy needs. He's not a Christian. What happens if something happens to him? And he dies on my watch. God has given me the opportunity today. So, you know, let's maybe put this in our thoughts for now, that we could take these words: in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And the work in Uruguay, we praise the Lord, because after a lot of work, insistent work, and in years of insistence, our first furlough was after 11 years, so you can imagine we did not want to sort of work three or four years and pick up and come back and then go back and maybe find nothing, you know, because that happens. We've seen it in other areas. So we stuck it out for 11 years. And now we're coming back every 4 years, more or less. And maybe as we get older, we might come back because some of our friends are starting to disappear, right? And it's a sad thing. But they're in glory, so that's good. So try to keep in mind some questions. We're going to be seeing a video now. And it's 20 minutes long, so that'll give us 10 minutes and 15 minutes to answer some of your questions, okay? Uruguay, just in case you don't realize it, is underneath Brazil, if we know where Brazil is. Argentina, still in the World Cup, is right beside us, okay? Normally we we push out Argentina. We have a three-way fight there. Either ones have good soccer teams. But if you can find us, we're just a small country on the River Plate. And some of you that know history, the Gaspé went down in front of our ports. And so let's enjoy this and remember your questions. Thank you. Man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these are the ways of the Lord. Uruguay in South America, just below Brazil, and Mercedes is our city. 50,000 people live in this lovely city, and we've been living here for 44 years. Cecilia and I were full-time since 1978. The whole city is a workplace for us. From end to end, we have a chapel at one end, the camp at the other, and in between, another chapel and our home. Cecilia and I have four children, Delia, Alan, Natalie, and Norman, and their spouses and children, and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren make up quite a crowd. Alan and Norman have their jobs in Uruguay, and the girls have married and have their families. Natalie and Hugo in Brazil, in Manaus, in Amazons. We went to visit them not so long ago. What a joy it was to meet up again after so long and over so many kilometers separating us. The kids are so well taken care of, as the parents work very hard, but their schooling, they are excelling at it tremendously. Here in the devotional at the base with the new tribes, and here in their church where they attend, where they're contained, we praise the Lord. And we see them working us back and forth into jungle situations and back to the base where they are in charge of consultancy and economics of the place. And so many places are only reachable through rivers, boating, and the jungles are a place where many tribes and people live. It's great to be together, all our families, and Alejandro and Delia, as they also were in Brazil, and now they are in charge of camp and Bible school here in Uruguay, in Mercedes. These are some of the groups that have been year after year accompanying us. Manuel, Camila. Camila is married now to a fine gentleman, and we really enjoy them a lot. They live here in Uruguay. We have our first and second chapels, and at the camp here we have a picture of the crowd of believers. During the pandemic, we experimented, like so many, trying different things, and so we praise the Lord for being able to have even a Sunday school with 700 viewers and with cooking included and puppets. Then the spacing as we come together, the food baskets for the needy, the first ladies meeting and also giving out tracts. Our Sunday school, we split in four so as to have four different groups with fewer kids in open air situations. What a blessing the Lord did for us as we enjoyed seeing the groups even grow, working together. The Lord has His ways of getting around some of these obstacles. Sunday school is a tremendous ministry that we give much importance to all Sunday morning from 9 a.m. right until around 1 o'clock. We finally get home where we can rest from attending to so many kids. Usually there are 100 children, a little bit less, a little bit more, depends a lot, even on soccer. Sounds funny. But of course, they don't have Christian parents who will guide them to making good decisions. And they end up skipping Sunday school because they have a soccer practice, a soccer game, and soccer seems to be the god of this age. So we just pray for these kids because they end up with ungodly living due to not having heard the Word of God on a constant basis. We also celebrate the Samaritan Purse in Uruguay. We had 28,600 of these boxes that many people in Canada have prepared and are such a blessing. The whole program that accompanies the boxes is to evangelize and duplicate the amount of children. So they have 12 evangelistic lessons. They are to bring along a friend with a personalized invitation. And then there's discipleship after. There's memorization of verses. There is a graduation which helps them feel that they have really achieved something important. Sunday school does start with games, as we like to see the kids enjoying their teachers and getting to know them better and showing some of the attitudes and values that we place on being with friends. So this happiness is sometimes contrasted by the way they are dealt with at home. There's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of pain. So we thank God for a tremendous team of teachers, you know, mainly young people. The older folk are veteran teachers and take on the younger ones soon after they are baptized and teach them how to attend and give the gospel in a simple way. We use a lot of child evangelism methods and courses whenever we can get them. So we praise the Lord for a Sunday school. The afternoons are, we celebrate the breaking of bread. We have the family Bible hour in the evenings. And so the whole church is active. There is a lot of talent. A lot of natural talent and ways that people use to get to the children. And even the older part of Sunday school, there is a class for the older folk, and they get to serving the wieners, hamburgers, and whatever is to be eaten. It is good to join the generations in serving each other, in being together, in contagion that happiness or that desire to serve and be useful in the Lord's work. So graduation in this great adventure is for those who have truly fulfilled a very well done program. So we thank God for all those that have participated in this. The teachers' meetings are for 24 of us as we get together, and there is a devotional, there's time of prayer, there's planning, and we get to the ladies' ministries where Cecilia has done a lot of work to try to keep them moving and get them together and train them, and they are capable, very capable, and now they are motivated, which is very good, drawing in neighbors and friends to special events and special times together under the Word of God. So you may pray for these ladies. They are mothers, and they are very much worthy of getting away as they do at this retreat. 360 ladies were away, and for 2 days, Cecilia's part of that national committee. Cecilia's part also of social involvement, where you have, through children's aid, from preschool to teenage years, 5 centers dedicated. The men get together. We certainly do with food, and that means testimonies and time to bring in new friends. Baptisms are times of much meaning and drawing family, unsaved family many times, to see how this is done. So different to christening and so much more meaningful. And here we have some of our family being baptized, grandchildren. It is such an honor. Weddings happen very often because churches can be small, churches can be big, but when you have 10 national events every year, then these kids get together from over the kilometers, from one end of the country to the other, and you have 500 young people in a rally, and you have hundreds working at a campaign, and so this is lovely to see them marrying amongst good Christian pairs in the assemblies. At the Bible school, camp. And camp is such a time, and you have fundraising before so that the kids earn their way. So many times the parents do not accompany them, or does it do not matter if they go or not. So we have a lot of help. The Sunday school teachers are the first helpers, and they come from far and near with groups, and camp is truly a blessed ministry event. This pool has been such a blessing. It was provided to us by the Lord. So we praise the Lord for all the work that goes before and the results that are seen throughout the years as the kids grow together. The young people, the Christians, can go anywhere in the country and also immediately be connected to assemblies, to friends that they already know. Building and building and more building at the camp. It's a matter of maintenance, a matter of according to the demand, say, okay, let's go another step of faith, another step of working together and seeing the Lord providing. Here we're seeing groups of students from the Bible Institute in different moments, whether in class or graduation, and they have spent a year of their lives, many times after high school, before going into university so that they can really understand what God's will might be for their lives. Not just to study anything, but something that truly will be of use in the Lord's work. And we have others that do make a pause in a career and come to Bible school for a year and get their relationship straightened out with the Lord. They learn maintenance and how to build, how to cook, how to cut grass, how to have an eye for things being properly done, and just it's a complete learning experience coming to Instituto Biblico Berea Internados. They live here for a whole week. They learn to grow their own vegetables, to see that it is possible, that we live in a modern world where sometimes it is forgotten that you can contribute to growing your own food. Examinations and figuring things out that have been put on the blackboard or the whiteboard. And they love each other. The kids love each other, come back. They want to be together. This is the van that many of you helped purchase. And this van has been to Paraguay now, which is far, far north. And going in a group so as to teach how other people live, how other people evangelize. Here they are in Paraguay with Guarani as the language, an indigenous language. We speak Spanish only. So there they are off, and through the roads that are very different to ours, and there are two Uruguayan families, young families there, that are missionaries and working with much sacrifice and love for these people. So it was interesting because they are working on the border with Brazil, so many people do speak Portuguese. So Martina and Alejandro were also speaking to the adults and to the children using Portuguese so as to communicate with those that were not Paraguayan. And God has been good. God has protected. God has protected during the pandemic. You can hear these songs. They are in Guarani. So many friends have been made over the kilometers. So many significant relationships. The church is one. Back in Mercedes, we are celebrating 60 years of the work since it was inaugurated, remembering my parents, my brother, so many people that have been through the sands. And God has been good. Once again, this van loaded with people, with teenagers on Sunday mornings with 20 children. After a big storm, a big wall fell down at the first chapel, and so it's put back up. These are some of the pizzas that have been made for the fundraising. A helper teacher for Cecilia. We sing on that corner of the bank at Christmas, sing carols, we sing many different things. Also television. It's a lot of work, but worth it. I felt so many people know us, but do they know really what we teach? I haven't seen them in church, so television is the answer. Trips to the north, some of the veteran missionaries, we've been there a few times. God's word is taken where nobody goes. Special visitors and friends, even from Argentina, from far north and through drug situations. Ricky Ann, another special friend of Cecilia's and a missionary in Montevideo, saying goodbye to Cecilia. We said goodbye to Vladimir and his wife as they go to a Bible Institute. And there's a tremendous ministry through the tent campaign, Bible bus all February is dedicated to going from one city to another for during a week. Four or five different cities and churches are helped in that period of time, and work is being done, visitation to the homes, giving out tracts, being on the radio, on the television, the local television, and different things which draw and speed up the process of getting the gospel to the neighborhoods, filling the cities with the sound of the gospel, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ being magnified. So this Bible bus sleeps six people, carries 20. We have very tremendous people that have been producing these things. This is where we do the Easter conference, where you'll have half of them being young people. You have 500 young people at a youth rally, sometimes more. Youth leaders retreat and men's retreat, we get together. How important it is that God's men that have to lead the churches do so with His word just vibrating in our hearts. May God be to be glorified through our lives. Pray for us. Pray for yourself. Pray for what God wants you to be doing, your family. Thank you. Okay. Does anybody have any doubts? One thing I might talk about Camila. Camila is a nieta, a granddaughter, right? And so she's the one that was getting married there, and she's quite a cute kid, you know. It's really nice. God has blessed us with a number of grandchildren that we can be very proud of as they excel in their studies and their desire to serve the Lord and, you know, accompany the parents. It's really good.
So how long is it that your parents went down?
My parents, we went down in 1968. It's going to be 55 years now. And or 54. 55, right, okay. And it's, of the six kids, two stayed up in Canada, and four of us went with them. And then now it's Ken and myself that are in Uruguay as missionaries. The rest are here in Canada. Yeah. And then Cecilia and I went in 78. Okay.
Do you get snow down there? Or how does the work change in winter?
Yeah, we don't get snow, but it gets below 0, 4, even 8. Degrees below zero. It's very nippy. All the buildings are made of block. There's no isolation of any sort, nor double glass, nor, you know, the wind kind of goes in and out. And so you might be lucky to have a bit of heat in some area of the house. And or now we use a lot of these. Air conditioners, a splint or something they called. What are they called? Something like that. You know, you just have them on the wall and blows a bit of hot air. So they're pretty effective, and also to cool the place. So because it gets very hot in the summer, you know, we have 40 degrees and It's you can fry an egg on the street.
So how does your work change in the winter? You likely don't have camps.
We do have a camp. Like the Bible school is at the camp, so the Bible school continues. Okay, and we also have in July. That's midwinter. We have a retreat, and we get well over 100 kids coming out, and young people, and good messages and so on. But that is in the heart of winter, and it's cold. It is nippy. You know, one time I covered myself with another mattress, you know, because it was that cold. You go to bed with your boots on and just... Yeah?
What led you to have Sunday school for 3-4 hours during the morning and then a church service at night?
Yeah. What's interesting is we pick up a lot of children in the different vehicles of people from the assembly. So that takes 3/4 of an hour. So then they arrive, like we start after 9 or so, ourselves in particular. And so we arrive usually a bit after 10, which is already late. And the kids have half an hour to play. And they play different games, organized games, and according to ages, and with the teachers playing with them. And so we believe this creates a very good bond. The interaction is very positive. And then we call the kids together and we serve some hot chocolate and or cold chocolate if it's warmer weather, and some biscuits or bread of some sort. So it's sort of a breakfast. A lot of kids leave home, sort of fall out of bed and fall into the van. We drag them to Sunday school, so we solve the stomach problem, and then we teach them. So then after that, we have 20 minutes of singing, good action songs and so on, you know, normal kids things. And then a whole hour for verses and Bible teaching and so on. So they're out at 12 o'clock, 11:45. And so we get home at 1 o'clock after another 3/4 of an hour of taking people home. And like that, as I say, there are other people that walk, and we say, okay, fine, you come walking. Well, bring some people, you know, invite on your way. And if you have a car, you have space, bring somebody with you. You know, don't waste any of the effort.
Mm-hmm. What's the culture of the country, religious culture? Are they agnostic? Are they Catholic? Are they, what do you find people are like in Europe?
They're all that. They're agnostic. It's a non-Christian country. It's not... like other South American countries that the state and the church are united. No, it is two separate entities. And so because it is an agnostic setting, and you can't mention God in the schools and things like this. And there is Catholicism. Catholicism is a tradition. People hold on to that tradition, but they don't go to mass, they don't confess to the priest, they don't believe in the priest, they don't, you know, there's nothing good said, basically. But people, because of certain society strings, they maintain that appearance. Usually kids, after they've done their first communion, like Cecilia was saved when she was 15, but she had already done her first communion, how old were you? 12, right? So the kids normally by 14 and they're into high school are asking questions. They've done their first communion. They've, you know, and after she did her first communion, she never stepped in the church again. And that happens time and time again. They find it. There's nothing. And they start to look. And the activity that the church offers wakens them to something different. And they come to know the Lord. And the church is made up of people that have been won through evangelism. We don't have people moving in, but rather we have people moving out. Out as they go, young people go to the capital city to study. And so we have half a dozen kids going, leaving us every year. And but more are coming in. You have to fill the ranks, you know. So it's, and we say to them, you know, if you're going to be leaving, make sure you leave somebody in your place. But we have the satisfaction of, we can count more than 40 people in the capital city and throughout the country that are serving the Lord very well and very well esteemed, that are from Mercedes. Mm-hmm. We have 4 missionary families from our assembly. And that's another story too, that the 25th of August was one of our national meets for the elders of the assemblies. And so we come together for different topics. And this topic was, you know, how to get to all the corners of the country. The country isn't big, but it's... it's got 19 departments or provinces, and 8 of them don't have an evangelical brethren. We call ourselves brethren, right? Brethren assembly there in the capital city of that province. So we don't have any more money, any more funds to have more missionaries. We can't say, come on guys, get moving, we want to send you out. It's like a pie. The pie is already cut. The pieces are too small already, you know. So one of the things that was proposed was that the young couples, or whoever that the Lord puts in their heart, get transfers to certain cities. And purposely plant an assembly, get 3 families together, some with children, some without, whatever the case. They'll work for their upkeep, and that way try to get to more places. So we have one couple that is ready to go. We've visited a city in the next province, and different things have all come together very, very, very quickly. Someone said, well, slow down. Well, we're not doing anything. The Lord's kind of going like this. And so, you know, it's something that we see the Lord working and moving, and the assemblies are working together. We're 35 assemblies, and all the elders of the assemblies come together once. Well, not all of them come, but there's an open invitation to all the elders of the assemblies of the country to come together every first Monday of the month. And topics are dealt with, and there's a missionary service where offerings come in, and so there's a point system to help meet different ones' needs. And then we have 10 national events every year. So that means that we plan those things. And one thing that's interesting, those Monday nights, you have the men in one area of a chapel. The ladies, You saw the big ladies retreat. Well, they're in another area planning that. And the young people meet an hour earlier. And they are together planning camps, a monthly prayer meeting. And then there's evangelistic impact that's done also. So everybody's busy and the assemblies are working together, which is very, very positive. Mm. So the kids can, or anybody can go to different places in the country. And normally there's an assembly where they already know the people and they already say, okay, fine. Of the options, I'm going here. So that keeps them alive spiritually, right? With the fellowship. It's time for one more question.
Do you experience any resistance, like, politically with all the events that are happening and all the kids coming out from communities of people, like, unhappy with it, or it feels like it's brainwashing or anything like that?
I'm sure there are lots that think that. I mean, we do have communism in the country, and they are normally quite decided in that area. But we're normally favored by the government. Even when that wall fell down, the president came up to our city because of the terrible storm and so on. And we were called to the municipality, and we had that tremendous wall fall down, and so they said, you know, calculate what it will cost to fix, and we're going to help you. So the governor said to me personally, he said, you know, that's going to cost so much. And so when we came up with our numbers, it actually, our modest way of doing things was half of that. So we were told, you have to add on to that, look around for some more numbers. And so they gave us something. We had some left over. We could do something else. So that's just one way of showing. We've worked in many institutions. We've worked with the police. We've worked through the jails. We've worked with the ministries of justice and people in the capital city. We've evangelized them. We've given them envelopes with Christian literature and business cards and things like this, so that and lending books to them and so on. And we know all the people. They know us. The director of Children's Aid asked us in a personal way. He went to the camp and talked and said, you know, what do you guys do to get people out of drugs? You know, he says, we haven't seen one success. And they have very expensive programs and sending people off and so on. And, we deal with them through the gospel. And there is one rehabilitation center that we use. But people are being saved. So that is great, you know. And then Celia's in the Children's Aid she was kind of pleased, you know, come and work on the committee of Children's Aid. They have from 3 years up to teenagers. 18, right. So in 5 different centers. And so she's the president right now of that committee, and where they hire, how many teachers? About 60, I think. 68, right. So have Cecilia come here, and it'd be easier, eh? So anyway, there's a lot of coming and going. There's a lot of contact with mothers, parents of the children themselves, the teachers, and certain authorities. And that is something that we've always been doing, throughout many years. And so, answering your question, the authorities know us and speak well of us. And so there's no problem. We ask them to cut the street, you know, to block it, so we can, next Saturday, we have our Christmas treat, you know, so we're on a boulevard. So we're going to block off, like we always do, one of those streets. And so they come along with their vehicles and they bring their whatever you call them, and they block off the road, and they give us a nice stage, a meter 20 high. It's a huge thing. And so we do all our performance in the street, like in front of the church building, and all the neighbors are there. People bring their lawn chairs and so on. So that is something that's going to be done this coming Sunday. Saturday, right. So, okay, thank you so much for your questions, and that we could share these things today. And this morning, too, we really enjoyed the breaking of bread. And so, and being in Mark and Vanessa's house, and it's really good, and with Mexicanos, right? Okay. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for being so good. Thank you for the salvation we have to offer freely, and the powerful work that you do through your Holy Spirit in the lives of people that would in other cases, not have any hope. They would be without you and without hope in this world. We thank you for the leadership. We thank you for the young and old and the children as they know you, and just pray for the future of the work in Uruguay, that it might continue to grow. And we also pray for Canada and what you're doing here and what needs to be done and how you will move and awaken and create vision. And Lord, we just thank you for being in your family, to be called sons of God. We thank you for something that we're not worthy of, but help us to sow the seed of the gospel in the morning, in the evening, and to just see that you can do the impossible. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.